morning. Time to get up and go to work.
The Power Pack Morning Zoo. Are you kidding me?
Fire!
It's the greatest radio show ever.
Good morning and welcome.
Dan Bickley.
Oh my God, he's from Chicago. That's amazing.
Vince Marotta.
Oh, why, Vince? Who's better than Van?
Sarah Cazell.
Ruthless.
And Jerry Carlin.
It can only be Jerry.
Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Bickley and Marotta Mornings.
Shout out to Dan Bickley, my boy. Him and Vince. Okay.
And away we go on a Tuesday morning. Good morning, everybody. It is game night in Phoenix. Game's actually in Minneapolis, but it's game night in Phoenix.
We can get our game faces on here in the Valley.
I agree with that. Who will have the better team tonight? That's going to be a big question. And you know what? Truly, life's about being on the right team. Isn't that true? Have we found that out to be the case? For example, Ted Scott. Have you ever heard of Ted Scott? Do you know who he is?
Ted Scott.
Ted Scott is Scotty Scheffler's caddy. And as of this morning, Ted Scott has more earnings this year than Rory McIlroy.
Isn't
that fantastic?
That's hilarious.
Ted Scott's earnings, his earnings for carrying Scotty Scheffler's bag, $1.78 million. Rory this year, $1.71.
So,
wow.
Isn't that something?
You say that sort of facetiously, carrying his bag. When you get to that level of a superstar, of a player, how much impact does the caddy have?
There's a lot still. There's the consultation factor.
It's a good question. You have to understand a couple of things. As a golfer, when you're out there all by yourself and there's people watching you, it's good to have a wingman, somebody you can talk with, right? Otherwise, you're just talking to yourself, and people go, God, he's an idiot.
But I always wondered, like, when Tiger was on his streak, or like Scheffler right now, when you're that great and you're that much in the zone, does it really matter who's? I know they give you, you're this far away.
Well, first of all, but you don't want to carry your own bag, and you can't use a cart, so you got to hire somebody.
Right.
I don't know. Could they get by without it? Absolutely.
But you bring up an interesting point.
Could just a different caddy come in and it be just the same, pretty much?
I don't think so. I mean, maybe I'm overinflating it, but I think there's a relationship there. And you mentioned it too. You're out there by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
There's no coaching.
Nope.
That's the closest thing you have to a coach.
Yep.
A different set of fresh eyes to say, hey, let's rethink this a little bit.
Yeah.
What's your approach? You know, and again, maybe I'm putting too much into it, but I think it's more important than we realize.
And if you need somebody to yell at the guy behind the ropes taking pictures during your backswing or telling you bad things about your mother,
yeah,
right? Then you need somebody, hey, bag ape, go take care of that person.
Yeah, if it was just about carrying the bag, these kids would all hire these golfers would all hire their high school buddies or their kids to do it.
And let's face it. After you make a big putt, who else will grab your hand when you try to high-five them?
Yeah, who else will give you an awkward high-five where you barely make skin contact? Yeah, you're right. It's very, very true. Do you remember when Jim Rome used to call Tiger Woods' caddy the bag ape?
I don't remember that one.
What is up, Stevie Williams?
The bag ape.
The bag ape. All right, so we got a lot to do today. Start the show, Ferret.
A splash. The stories making waves in the sports world. A splash.
Cannonball coming.
The Splash, brought to you by Presidential Pools, Arizona's number one pool builder. See why at presidentialpools.com.
Yeah, tonight is the night. Suns Timberwolves game two in their best of seven Western Conference playoff series. Suns trying to knot things up at one apiece after getting blasted by 25 points in game one on Saturday. Grayson Allen, who left the series opener on Saturday with a sprained right ankle, limited participant in practice on Monday, currently listed as questionable for tonight's game. T-Wolves forward Kyle Anderson left early in game one with a right hip pointer. He's also questionable for tonight. Tip-off, 4:30 Arizona time. Pre-game coverage gets rolling with Tim Ring at 3:30 here on Arizona Sports on 98.7 and the Arizona Sports app.
And so far to this point, NBA playoffs road teams are now 0-11.
This is correct. quite the trend. Thought we were going to get a couple to break
quite
through
the
last
turnaround
night,
from the regular season when this stuff doesn't matter.
Yes.
You know,
home court advantage.
Right. Yeah.
The league finalized the 2024 draft order, by the way, and after applying all the tiebreakers, the Suns will have the 22nd overall selection in the first round until they trade it. Interestingly, the Suns have not used a first round pick since 2020 when they took Jalen Smith out of Maryland with the 10th overall pick instead of Iowa State guard Tyrese Halliburton.
Look, jury's still out.
They
on
don't
that.
Like him. They don't want him. They don't like him. Look, they don't like him.
Tyrese Halliburton, part of the Olympic team. By
oh, boy.
Jury is still out. Let it play out.
This draft is June 26th and 27th. Now a two-day affair at Barclays Center in New York City. In Brooklyn, I should say. Last night in the NBA, Cleveland put the clamps on Orlando 96-86 to take a 2-0 series lead. This series has been about as unwatchable as it appeared to be on paper. The Magic are shooting 34% from the floor for the series.
Ugh. Yeah, I agree.
After that game got out of the way, we actually got great postseason theater. Dante DiVincenzo hit a three with 13 seconds left to give the Knicks a lead. Joel Embiid missed a shot at the buzzer for the tie. New York hangs on for a 104-101 win over the Philadelphia 76ers in Game 2 at Madison Square Garden. Knicks lead that series 2-0. In Denver, the Nuggets trailed by as many as 20. They trailed the Lakers by 10 entering the fourth quarter, but came back. They tied the game on three occasions in the last minute 15, and they win it on Jamal Murray's 16-foot jumper over Anthony Davis at the buzzer. Denver wins 101-99, and the defending champs are up 2-0 in that series.
Yeah, LeBron James, Jared's greatest of all time, missing a wide-open three that probably would have won the game for the Lakers.
Just saying. I mean,
I don't recall Michael Jordan ever losing a 20-point lead in a playoff game. I'm just saying.
I made a lot of playoff games when he was 39 years old.
No, listen.
Made a lot of playoff games with the Wizards. a lot of big shots, big moments.
That's another thing.
Later in his career,
another thing Jordan had on top of LeBron. He knew when to go away.
Three times.
He knew when to go away.
Whenever things got hard, he knew how to retire.
Again, die on that hill, Jared. It's okay. Go ahead.
I'm just the only thing working in my favor is the passage of time.
Mm-hmm.
And as we become further away from Michael Jordan, I think that the younger generation who grew up with LeBron will be in my favor.
I think you're right. It's 20 years from now, Anthony Edwards is the greatest of all time. He's better than LeBron.
Yep. Oh, no. How about...
Still that's say a joke. That's I'm being very facetious.
I'll still say this. Nobody ever got mugged for a pair of LeBron shoes. Tonight...
I see.
In addition,
look, top that, ferret.
Tonight, in addition to Suns, Wolves, there's two other NBA playoff games on tap. Milwaukee hosting Indiana in Game 2. 5:30 on NBA TV. The Bucks lead that series 1-0. And the nightcap is in L.A. where the Clippers will host the Mavericks in Game 2. That game gets underway at 7 on TNT. Tough one last night for the D-backs. They dropped the first of a three-game series in St. Louis, 5-3 to the Cardinals. D-backs led 3-0 after five innings. Brandon Fott, who had been perfect through four, ran into trouble in the sixth. He walked the bases loaded. Lars Nootbaar delivered a two-run single. Man, that guy kills the Diamondbacks.
Yes, he does.
Paul Goldschmidt tied things up at 3-3 with a solo home run off of Scott McGuff in the ninth. Torey Lovello turned to Kyle Nelson with a runner on first to face Nolan Gorman. He jacked a two-run homer to right center on the first pitch Nelson threw to walk it off for the Cardinals. Game two of that three-game set tonight at Busch Stadium. Tommy Henry's back. He'll throw for the D-backs against lefty Steven Matz. 4:45 first pitch, 4 o'clock pregame on ESPN 620 in the Arizona Sports app. Looks like at this point, right-hander Merrill Kelly is headed for the injured list after he was scratched from his start on Sunday due to shoulder discomfort. Elsewhere, closer Paul Sewald inching closer to return. He'll be on the mound for the Reno Aces tonight in relief in the Pacific Coast League. Sewald has not appeared in a big league game this year. He started the season on the injured list with a grade 2 left oblique strain. Trade going down 3 days before the NFL draft. The New York Jets were unable to unload quarterback Zach Wilson to the Denver Broncos. Jets sending Wilson and a 7th-round pick, number 256 overall, to the Mile High City in exchange for a 6th-round pick, number 203 overall. The teams will each pay $2.75 million of Wilson's $5.5 million salary. He was the number 2 overall pick of the Jets out of BYU in 2021, struggled mightily ever since. In that time frame, Bick, there are 27 NFL quarterbacks who have thrown at least 900 passes. Wilson has the lowest passer rating of all of them by 10 full points. Justin Fields is one spot ahead of him and is 10 points better.
That's the unlike a Josh Rosen, Zach Wilson has had lots of opportunity also to show what he could do.
Started 33 games. Quarterback Matt Ryan officially announced his retirement from the NFL, although did he really need to after he spent all last year in the broadcast booth for CBS? Ryan played 15 seasons in the league, mostly with the Atlanta Falcons. 62,792 passing yards, 381 touchdown passes, both top 10 all time. And he was the 2016 MVP. And another ASU football player hitting the transfer portal. This time it's cornerback Ed Woods taking head coach Kenny Dillingham by surprise. Woods has appeared in 32 games for the Sun Devils since 2020. Last week it was quarterback Jaden Rashada and wide receiver Elijah Badger announcing they were transferring. And man, my love for college athletics grows every day.
Oh, yeah, how about it? Did you see the headline that with their recent sanctions, ASU is now the most penalized school in history?
That's right, baby.
Number one, baby.
Number one in innovation. Number one in NCAA sanctions. Got to be number one in something.
Got to be, right?
If you're not number one, you're number two.
Coming up, 11.
There's your splash for Tuesday, April 23rd. Coming up next, Suns with the opportunity to even things up in Minneapolis. Can they get it done? We'll get into it next. It's Bickley and Marotta Mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Hey, it's Luke. Game one wasn't what we expected from the Phoenix Suns, so will they be able to get it together for game two? We're getting you ready for Suns Timberwolves at 10 a.m. It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports.
Healthy respect for this basketball team that we're playing. We know that they didn't play their best basketball in our three regular season matchups. When we saw that, what they're capable of in game one. But we're still very confident that we can play better than we did in game one, and very confident in the matchup.
Yeah, just play harder. Just play harder with more intensity. Just play with more focus. Usually that's how I go.
Frank Vogel, Kevin Durant heading into game two tonight at the Target Center. Suns trying to bounce back after a 25-point beatdown at the hands of the T-Wolves on Saturday. Frank Vogel talking about the mentality of the team. Kevin Durant just getting right to brass tacks. We need to play harder, which is not something we've not discussed this year. It seems like the Suns need reminders on how hard
kettle
they need
prods,
to play.
Yeah.
And when they do, they're pretty good. But
yeah, listen, and I heard from a bunch of Suns fans yesterday, I'm guessing you probably did too, about this very thing about, okay, hold on. At what point in time do the Suns need to stop being reminded about wanting it as much as the other team? At what point in time shouldn't that be self-evident by, look, you're in the postseason now? That should command your attention, full stop. And so, and again, I know a lot of times after these losses, these are just words that get said. And a lot of people immediately grab it. How could you not be up for that game? But listen, when it comes from the head coach and the issue is playing harder, that's a hard thing to reconcile. We did this a couple of years ago with the Chris Paul, Monty Williams Suns when every loss seemed to be, for some reason we didn't match their intensity.
Yeah.
And you're like, what?
Normally the playoffs have a way of just ensuring that will happen.
Kind of, the one
box you can check is that, hey, we're going to play as hard as we can. So that's something to improve on, but it's far from the only thing on the list for the Suns to improve on, which is, it's discouraging and intriguing all at the same time, because again, we talked about it yesterday. The Suns played about as poorly as they could play. Minnesota played a very good basketball game, and they completely outworked the Suns, but when you look at the list of things, all right, so you need to play with more intensity. That's item number one. Improve on the boards. Take better care of the basketball. We talked to Kellen Olsen about improving the spacing. Does that lead to more threes? They need to shoot more threes. The offensive rebounding numbers for the Suns were very low in terms of second chance points. So there's a ton to work on for game two.
Yeah.
It's all about adjustments, so we'll see what it looks like tonight. And I'll say it going into the game. And I'm saying this without knowing what the optics are, what this all looks like tonight. If the Suns come back 0-2, this series is still far from over.
I agree. I agree with that. I do not think that even if they lose tonight, it's something where you go and you close the book on the team. That the cliche about it not beginning until the road team wins a playoff game, it certainly applies here.
Yeah, and it applies everywhere in the league.
It applies
right now.
Everywhere.
Apparently no series has started.
Well, but again, it's like you understand the overreaction that comes with these games. I mean, how many people now are just writing off the Lakers? Now, the Lakers may be done, but the Lakers, you know, they've played the Nuggets close and now they're going home. It's not done yet.
No. Oh, absolutely.
There's a fundamental difference in all of this, and I agree with you. And way too often, basketball fans, sports fans, just get on these tangents that it's over. Not necessarily. Now, the thing about the Suns, though, in terms of categorizing it as one of the worst games that they could have played, and I think when you step back from it, I agree with that. But it's not like the game that I saw was the Suns were right there. Throwing punch for punch with the Timberwolves in the first quarter, and then after a while they got tired of that fight, and that's what worries me about this basketball team, that they can't sustain that level of play, absorbing contact, playing physical for four quarters over the course of a series. They're going to have to prove that.
But
that to me is number one.
That's also why maybe it's not as simple as the series doesn't start until the home team loses, because if they fall down 2-0, you have to believe that the Suns can then win 4 out of 5 games without having, stinkers like they've had all season long.
Or you just keep winning your home games and then keep taking a shot in the road games. You start looking at it as a math equation, it can be very daunting.
Yeah. To your point, though, on the physicality, obviously, and I think you're right on the money. Early on, and the Suns talked about this after the game on Saturday, we matched it early and then it kind of went away. Minnesota goes into this series, they go into game two knowing, hey, we're so much bigger than them. Our front line is enormous, and that is something that we can inflict upon them.
Mm-hmm.
Here was Frank Vogel being asked about physicality and matching it yesterday.
How important is it to match the physicality, if not bring that first, as opposed to letting the Timberwolves kind of set that tone in that regard?
Yeah, it's part of winning in playoffs. Okay, if you lose a physicality battle, you're going to lose a game. So, yes.
Yeah, the problem is, I think the Suns are more equipped or built to match physicality as opposed to dish it out initially.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to match it for 48 minutes.
That's the thing.
You can't match it for 12.
That's the issue here.
Nurkic and Drew Eubanks can be physical.
Booker can be physical.
He can be physical.
Yeah, and listen, it's also a deal, too, where part of the reason, there's a lot of things, I think, the two items that the Suns have to accomplish here, aside from the things like rebounding and taking care of the basketball, all the success they've had against the Timberwolves in the past have come in games when they've limited Anthony Edwards. That's number one. You can't let him get off the way he did. As Stephen A. Smith pointed out yesterday in an epic rant about game one, he said 2 points separated the performance of Kevin Durant and Anthony Edwards. Anthony Edwards scored 33, Kevin Durant scored 31, but it felt like the impact on the basketball game was Canyon-esque. And he's right about that.
Yeah, and we'll get into that a little bit later on in the show. I think it's a fascinating subject that he hit on.
Mm-hmm.
There's some truth to it, but there's some holes you can poke in it, too.
Mm-hmm.
So big game tonight. We'll have a lot of preview going into game two. You can hear the game right here on Arizona Sports on 98.7. 4:30 tip. Pregame coverage starts at 3:30. You can also embrace the Suns playoffs and go all in with Arizona Sports. Tune in daily this week. 8 o'clock hour, noon hour, 3 o'clock hour. We'll give you an exclusive Phoenix Suns code word every day. When you hear that code word, just text it to 620-620 for your shot at scoring Suns playoff tickets. Again, don't miss your chances. 8 a.m., 12 noon, 3 p.m. Listen in those hours to get that code word. Coming up next, D-backs were looking good for a while in St. Louis until they weren't. We'll get into their series opening loss to the Cardinals next in D-backs Daily. It's Bickley and Marotta Mornings. Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Arizona Sports, the home of Arizona Diamondbacks baseball.
D-backs Daily.
Second stop on a three-city road trip for the Diamondbacks. They're in St. Louis facing the Cardinals at Busch Stadium. Lance Lynn on the mound for the Cardinals against Brandon Pfaadt for Arizona. They were the two starting pitchers And Arizona's Game 3 NLDS win over the Dodgers last fall. Lynn moving on, changing his uniform to the Cardinals. And it would be the D-backs getting on the board first. Top of the second, Jock Peterson doubled leading off. He'd promptly be knocked in by Eugenio Suarez. I promise it happened.
Lynn, a look at second. Now the 3-2 swing and a line drive into left center field. Base hit. Diamondbacks are going to take the lead as Peterson scores. An RBI single for Chino, and it's 1-0.
Chris Garagiola on the call. 1-0 there, as he said. Lynn would then plunk Gabby Moreno with a pitch. He walked Jake McCarthy to load the bases. Kevin Newman struck out, but Ketel Marte was able to tack on a run.
And now the pitch swung on. That's hit in the air to left field. Going back is Burleson. He is underneath it and will make the catch. Suarez will tag from third. He will score. It's a job well done by Marte, and it's 2-0 Arizona.
Bases would be loaded again after Corbin Carroll's infield single. Seems like we talk about a lot of Corbin Carroll infield singles.
Yeah. But not a lot of doubles and triples. All right. Whatever happened to Corbin Carroll going from first to third?
Yeah. They haven't seen his poop your pants face. Lourdes Gurriel struck out with the bases loaded to end the inning, so what could have been a huge inning, they settled for two. Fott was cruising, meanwhile. He retired the first 12 hitters he faced on 46 pitches. He would get more support in the fifth. Christian Walker drew a one-out base on balls. Peterson singled, runners on first and second with one away, and that brought up Suarez again.
1-1 swing, high fly ball, deep down the left field line. That is going to get down, and that's going to hit off and over the wall. It is a ground rule double. Walker scores, and it's 3-0.
But they would leave two more runners in scoring position. That would play loom large later. Fott would lose his perfect game when Nolan Arenado single to lead off the fifth, but he did put another zero on the board. Then he ran into serious trouble in the sixth. He walked Mason Wynn, Michael Ciani, and Brandon Donovan.
Just bizarre.
After being completely in control.
The 8-9-1 guys.
Yeah, the 8-9-1 guys load the bases. He got Wilson Contreras to fly out to center on a ball that wasn't deep enough to bring in a run. But he was unable to dodge the Lars Nootbaar bullet.
The bases are loaded and the pitch is swung on. That's a ground ball base hit into left field. Wynn scores. Rounding third and coming home is Ciani. He will score. It's now 3-2.
Yeah, the D-backs lead was down to one at 3-2. Scott McGuff came in with one out. He got Arenado to ground into a double play to end the inning. McGuff came back out to start the seventh, and he got touched up by Paul Goldschmidt.
And the pitch to Goldschmidt, that is hit well out to center. Going back, Carroll turns, looks, that one is way gone. And the homerless drought is over for St. Louis as Paul Goldschmidt hits his second to tie the game at 3.
Yeah. Paul Goldschmidt. 3-3 at that point. Ryan Thompson would work a scoreless eighth, but the D-backs bats remain quiet in the ninth. Torrey Lovello allowed Thompson to start the ninth in a tie game. Goldschmidt reached on an infield single. The skipper would then summon lefty Kyle Nelson to face Nolan Gorman, who had entered the game as a defensive replacement in the eighth. Nelson's night consisted of exactly one pitch.
And the first one swung on and belted deep to left field. It's off the bat of Gorman, and it's gone. And for a team that hadn't homered in 8 days, they use a homer to tie it and a homer to win it. Their first walk-off of the season for the Cardinals sinks the Diamondbacks in the series opener as the Cardinals take it 5-3.
Yeah, the Sandra Day O'Connor High School star Gorman wins it for the Cardinals. Yeah. They do take the opener. And real quick, just baseball-wide, you hear that stat, the Cardinals had gone 8 straight days without hitting a home run. There's a lot of weird offensive trends happening in baseball this year.
Yeah.
Like Corbin Carroll's numbers. Mm-hmm. And Mike Yastrzemski the other day had his first extra base hit of the season. There's just a lot of weird stuff going on.
Yeah, a lot of dudes struggling.
Yes.
A lot of guys on the struggle bus. So yeah, listen.
Are we weeks away from finding out they changed the ball again?
Who knows? I guess you never know with this sport. A couple things that disappointed me about this game. I could not believe after four, it was like, okay, is this one of those call your friends kind of night? Yo, Brandon Fott's got a perfect game, mm-hmm. and you better turn this on.
Mm-hmm.
To a guy that suddenly couldn't throw a strike 2 innings later, That was bizarre.
Yeah, here was Torrey Lovello on Fots Night.
I think, you know, Brandon, I haven't had a chance to talk to Strami or anybody about it, but Brandon looked like he was cruising and then just hit the brakes there with his inability to find the zone. And that happens, you know, fairly surprising, right? I thought there was a mound visit and there were some things that showed me he was going to be able to get back in the zone, and it just didn't happen. So he fills up the strike zone. He's a strike thrower deluxe, and he, you know, just got away from that.
Yeah, just a weird, because again, you want to talk about control. What Slade Ciccone did on Sunday in terms of efficiency and then followed up by Brandon Fott, you're like, wow, light bulb's going on for these young guys. Fott just couldn't keep it going. And the thing that frustrated me again, and this has been season long for the Diamondbacks, is once they get a lead, they get a certain amount of runs on the board in most games, and they just shut the engines off. And Torrey Lovello talked about that.
There's a few things on my checklist right now. I feel like we let the Cardinals hang around. We let them just linger. And I sensed that Brandon was in control of this game, and we had some opportunities to really break this game open offensively, and we didn't. It's understandable, but we let a baseball team hang around, and when you do that at this level, they're gonna strike back, and they did. And you know, we had quality at bats, but just couldn't get that big hit at the right time. But I thought we did enough, and we were grinding it out enough that we were gonna find a way to scratch out a run late, but we just couldn't.
In the words of the Cranberries, Bic, do you have to let them linger? Well, do you have to?
How about it? The thing that was really disgusting was Kyle Nelson. I mean, the first pitch he threw, it was a big, fat meatball, right? It was a DeFalco's meatball.
It was a tasty meatball.
Right? And it just, and Kyle Nelson, the ball was on its way out of the park, and he just bowed his head and he started walking to the dugout, and I thought, oh, thanks, nice effort. But then you got to back up and say, look, if this team had a healthy bullpen, would Scott McGuff be facing Goldie in the seventh inning? Probably not. Is Kyle Nelson pitching in the ninth? Probably not. And so all of this stuff seems to be tied together, and but yet this is with the Merrill Kelly situation.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, this team has got to really start, you know, getting the water out of the boat.
Yeah, and to the point on the offense, you know, cruising early and then just really shutting down as the game goes on, those splits still look pretty ugly. 55 runs, innings 1 through 3, 47, 4 through 6, 28, 7 through 9. Team batting average now in innings 7 through 9 is 173 with a 569 OPS, which is 310 points lower than their team OPS in innings 1 through 3.
Wow.
So it's evening out a little bit, but it's still, I think, in an alarming territory. And I just don't know what to attribute that to. Now, last year, we all know how it ended, but the offense frustrated me last year, too.
Well, and the thing about it is, when you try to kind of diagnose why this is happening, generally, if you had a baseball team full of flaky dudes who burn hot and cold, you might go, okay, this is why. This is a personality trait of this baseball team. All these young guys in the Diamondbacks, these are all very serious dudes.
Mm-hmm.
They don't skimp on their approach. So why does this happen to them in the middle of games? It's really a bizarre dynamic.
Yeah, it really is. That series continues today. Tommy Henry back on the mound. He'll take on Steven Matz, 4:45 first pitch, 4 o'clock pregame. You can hear it on ESPN 620 and the Arizona Sports app. Coming up next, it was a very, very entertaining night in the NBA playoffs. After Cleveland and Orlando got done. We'll relive some of it next. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Hey, everybody, it's Burnsy. Game 2 is here. How will the Suns respond to the loss in Game 1, and who needs to step up the most if the Suns are going to win and even the series? We'll tell you all you need to know starting at 2 o'clock on Arizona Sports.
Still loose. I don't hear a whistle. Hart took it away to DiVincenzo for 3. Missed it. Hartenstein grabs the offensive rebound, and the Knicks another shot. DiVincenzo for 3 in the lead. 13 seconds to go.
He's at the midcourt circle. 4 seconds. 3 seconds left. Why are they not fouling? Jumper Murray. Got it to Hart. Denver mounts the comeback. They come back from 20 points down. They win game number 2. 101 to 99 is the final.
Yeah, what a night in the NBA. The last two games, you heard the highlight on ESPN Radio. Dante DiVincenzo hitting the three for the Knicks to give them the win. Jamal Murray with the buzzer beater against the Lakers to give them the win. That was on 92.5 Altitude Sports Radio. I thought, largely speaking, the first eight games of the playoffs were, there was a couple good games mixed in there. Obviously, the first game between New Orleans and Oklahoma City was really good. The first Knicks-Sixers game was good. They topped it last night.
Yeah, they did.
That was fantastic basketball in those two games.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly what this postseason needed.
So the Knicks came back from 8 points down in the last 28 seconds to win, whereas the Lakers led by 20 and got clipped at the buzzer. Two very, very different ways of suffering a heartbreaking loss, and in the end, both losing teams pointing the fingers at officiating. And for Lakers fans to be out there complaining that the playoffs are rigged, you really need to shut the hell up.
Yeah, they're rigging
it. You really do.
They're rigging it against the Lakers.
You really do. If you go take a look at cumulative free throws shot over the last 10 years in the NBA, it's the Lakers, followed by the Lakers, followed by the Lakers, followed by the Lakers. So really, that to me is beyond rich. So
right.
I don't know where you want to start. I think that if you're a 76, first of all, if you're a Philly sports fan, you got to be wondering, what the heck happened to our sports teams? You got the Diamondbacks beating the Phillies the way they did. You have the Eagles that were, 10-0 or 10-1 at one point?
They imploded.
And they imploded. And now you've got the 76ers team can't even close out a game that you're winning in the last 30 seconds.
It's
nuts.
That's a good basketball team still. Embiid's not fully healthy. But you talked about both teams that lost in those epic games, talking about the officiating after the game. Nick Nurse, Joel Embiid were on record saying, look, we're trying to inbound, the ball's loose, Maxey's on the floor. Nick Nurse is clearly signaling for a timeout, as was Brian Gates, one of the assistant coaches. It was not granted. Nick Nurse was pretty heated about that after the game.
The first thing is, obviously, they score. We take a look at getting it in quick. We don't get it in quick. I call timeout. Referee looked right at me, ignored me, went into Tyrese. I called timeout again. Then the melee started, and I guess I got to run out onto the floor or do something to make sure and get his attention, but I needed a timeout there to advance it. Would have been good, but couldn't get it.
Embiid talked about it as well. Now, you can certainly turn the blame on Nick Nurse and the Sixers, too. After the Brunson three-pointer goes in on the miraculous roll to cut it to, what would that cut it to, one at that point? Sixers are trying to inbound. You've got 10 bodies in a very small space. You've got the timeout. Why not call it there and advance the basketball to midcourt? Design an inbounds play to get it in and force the Knicks to foul you.
Right.
They didn't do it. Maxey, I don't know how he caught that ball. Brunson and Hart were draped all over him, and a heads-up play by Hart to make that play. But you could just as easily fault the Sixers for not calling a timeout early.
That's where they should have called the timeout. Yeah. And if I'm listening to Nick Nurse properly in that cut, he's claiming he did. See, after Jalen Brunson launches that shot, and it was one of the friendliest shooter's roles you'd ever find. You've talked about this year. How collaborative the rims have been this year. And so when that dropped, that's the time you call timeout. Advance the ball, get your team settled down, because now you've just watched a shot drop and you can almost see the chaos beginning.
But he wasn't calling timeout until Maxey was on the floor.
Okay.
Now, I think it should have been granted. I will say that. The referees are looking at other things at that point, so you're at their mercy because they only still have two eyes. There's only six officiating eyes still on that play. Joel Embiid, he was pretty distraught after the game, but he did make a prediction.
We're good. We're gonna win this series. We're gonna win this. We know what we gotta fix. We did a better job today, so we're gonna fix it. But we're the better team, and we're gonna keep fighting.
That is bold, because the Knicks feel like they just have something, don't they?
There's no doubt about it.
Their flame is burning pretty bright and hot right now.
Oh, yeah.
It might fade, but right now they look like a team that has those intangibles.
Yeah. A buddy of mine in New York City texted me, I didn't see it till this morning, he said it was the craziest night he's ever seen at the Garden, ever. And now that's saying something.
Yeah. It is cool when you see the Lakers games and Knicks games when they have moments like that, and then it's the crowd going crazy, and then all of a sudden there's Ben Stiller and Chris Rock high-fiving each other.
Yeah. Oh, the celebrity power on display at MSG in these first two games has been just
bananas,
off the charts. Now in the Lakers Nuggets game, Murray hits the game winner. LeBron James had the podium after the game, and he made reference to the officiating, specifically a call that went against the Lakers in the third quarter.
I don't understand what's going on in the replay center, to be honest. I said it. I think I said it this year or last year, whatever. D'Lo clearly gets hit in the face on a drive. What the f- do we have a replay center if it's going to go? It doesn't make sense to me. It makes no sense to me. It bothers me. I'm sorry I didn't ask you a question, but that is like. And then I just saw what happened with the Sixers Nick game too. What are we doing?
Ooh.
I think LeBron has a point. Now, it was a 10-point game late in the third quarter when that whistle gets blown and then they reverse the call because Denver challenges it. You can't let that lead go. Now, if you let that lead go and you're bringing up a play in the third quarter that went against you, that rings kind of hollow.
And listen, I in watching that live, I was also kind of like perplexed at Scott Foster's explanation that the contact was marginal, so it's not a foul. And I'm like, but there was contact?
Let me come across there and hit you marginally in the face.
Right. But again, that's a play in the third quarter. Mm-hmm. And so this is LeBron's way of saying, look at that. Don't look at the fact that, is LeBron at all complaining that they missed his push off on that missed 3-point shot?
Yeah.
He went Michael Jordan, Brian Russell, Byron Russell.
No, it was Brian.
Yeah.
He spelled it kind of like Byron, B-R-Y-O-N. But yeah, he was all alone.
Yeah.
For a chance to ice it.
Yeah. Yeah. And listen, and that's not a good look if you want to be the GOAT. Now, granted, what Jared said earlier in his very feeble defense of LeBron James, he actually made a good point. LeBron James is very old, so at the end of these games, and he's playing very, very well. I mean, really, I will say that
LeBron
he's
Superman.
Gassed.
He was Superman like last night at a couple of times.
Oh my goodness!
The dunk, the block shot,
the time when they tried to foul him, and he still got the ball up and made it. Yeah, but so he's, you can tell he's gassed at these ends of these games, but you got to make that shot, LeBron.
Yeah.
You got to make that shot.
It's absolutely killer. We talked about series don't start until the home team loses, but the Lakers got to be killing themselves. They didn't take one of these two games, but they had leads.
Double-digit leads in both and a 20-point lead last night. My favorite part of the Lakers in defeat, though, last night was Anthony Davis on the podium to end his press conference.
To kind of piggyback off that one, can you take us through that last play and just what happened and what unfolded? I don't know if you were screened or what happened on that last play.
Jamal Murray made a shot.
Whoa.
It literally dropped the mic.
Well, what they're saying in Denver, I couldn't find any confirmation of this, but apparently Jamal Murray yelled Kobe as he was fading away over Anthony Davis. Now, remember when the Lakers eliminated the Nuggets in the bubble?
Yeah.
And Anthony Davis made that huge shot over Nikola Jokic. He yelled Kobe.
Yeah.
So the whole thing went full circle last night.
And Anthony Davis had to be miffed, too, because Murray hits the shot over him, and then their feet get tangled up when Murray's on the ground. Davis ends up right in the middle of the celebration, prone on the ground and can't get up.
Oh, that must have been the worst.
Can you imagine what he heard down there?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
What a great night for the NBA last
Fantastic.
Night.
Fantastic. Yeah. Lakers are very close to being in this series. And look, this has got to be a reminder to the Phoenix Suns. You look at both the 76ers and you look at the Lakers and what they did. They were right on the precipice. And that's what you got to do. You got to give yourself a shot and then close it out.
Yeah. But and look at the Nuggets. And not to look forward, but the Nuggets don't look unbeatable, and that's who the Suns would play if they.
They don't, but
advance.
We don't need to. We don't need to get that far ahead of ourselves. Jared.
Join Arizona Sports 98.7 this Thursday for round one of the NFL Draft at Flanker's Kitchen inside the BetMGM Sportsbook. Come witness Cardinals history with us and get a chance to win autographed Cardinals merchandise. Visit the contest page at ArizonaSports.com for full details. Coming up next. a lot of the Suns fan base is looking at one player to turn around the fortunes of the Phoenix Suns, and that player wears uniform number one. We'll get into that and more next. It's Bickley and Marotta Mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.